I'm Stephanie Bollinger. This is A Little Bit of Steph, episode 4. It's okay to not be okay. Thank you for joining me today on A Little Bit of Steph. Today I'm going to talk about something that is a little bit personal and raw so that I can hopefully help someone else understand that it's okay to not be okay, and it is not weakness to ask for help. It is strength. It's your inner strength. So don't ever feel like you're weak if you need help. So, as you know, I am the founder, the president, and one of the facilitators for From Trauma to Triumph Association peer-led support groups. I am also a suicide attempt survivor, as you know, from July of 2011. And recently, I experienced my first relapse since my suicide attempt, which is rare. Rare for me to last that long without a relapse. Most people in my field with my organization are completely shocked that I was able to last 8.5 years before I experienced my first relapse, especially based on how I was self-medicating without even realizing it for so many years. So today I'm going to share a little bit about that with you. I'm going to grab a tissue real quick because I know I'll probably eventually need that. So as you know, I had my suicide attempt in 2011. I went through some ups and downs between then and now. Honestly, at a really great point in life, but I guess even whenever you're at great points, when you're dealing with mental illness, there's always that chance of falling. So you have to make sure that your self-care is on point. Boundaries, another big thing. In August of 2019, I founded my own organization for suicide prevention and mental illness awareness, or mental health awareness. And so I started my first support groups for other people like myself who battle depression, thoughts of suicide, or have attempted suicide in October of 2019. In November of 2019, I boosted that from 1 to 2 different support groups in my local community. I had a co-facilitator that was helping me at a few of my support groups between October and December, well, a couple of them. I had also, during this time, gone through a financial situation where I had to stop working for a temporary time due to my own health. So I wasn't able to bring in my income. So we were just living on my husband's income. My husband is an audio engineer, and this during the January, February months are his slow season. So we were living off of our savings. Therefore, I did not have the money to pay for my regular therapy. So here I am struggling, every week I'm taking on, every month I'm taking on these support groups, facilitating these support groups. I'm an empathetic person too, so I soak in everybody's pain and problems. So here I am, not getting therapy, doing these support groups. On top of that, my organization is so new. My flyers are all over my the Northwest Florida area, so therefore, everybody just about that comes across my flyers were calling me as though I was a crisis hotline. I will not talk in detail about those calls, but those calls were calls that I wasn't trained to handle. Those calls were calls that, quite frankly, scared me and concerned me for the people on the other end, because here they were reaching out for what they thought was their last hope, and they got me. Luckily, I was able to help a lot of people through these calls and get them to the right resources that they need. However, not every person is happy with me when I cannot provide them one-on-one counseling on a regular basis. I wish I could be more for everybody, but I'm honestly helping to the extent that I am capable of doing. And so I'm going to keep pursuing that in the best way that I'm able to, and just hope that for the people I touch, I'm able to help them. Dealing with not only soaking in so many problems and pain that I couldn't fix, but the guilt of not having the time or capability of spreading myself so thin for people that needed me. That was hard. That was really, really hard for me. So that's kind of where I was at the moment. Now to back up a little bit before I come back to the moment. Last year, in the beginning of 2019, well, actually in the end of 2018, a very dear friend and one of my mentors was diagnosed with a brain tumor. We lost her in the beginning of 2019 to that. This friend and mentor was my Sally. She's the one that helped me, that encouraged me, that I say love bullied me into learning how to share my story to help people, to get on the dance floor and give it a try, to volunteer in the community and find things that I'm passionate about. Sally, she helped me for a lot of that, and I lost her. So all year I've been dealing with the loss of her, and it has been one of the most difficult losses this far in my life. So I was dealing with that. Sally was the director of development at a local organization that I just adore and respect and just love and advocate for, and anytime I have an opportunity to talk about them in the community and raise awareness for them, I do that. They're the ones that helped me learn how to live after I became blind. They taught me how to cook and clean and everything, so a big soft spot in my heart for them. And I volunteer and was volunteering in a lot of different aspects within that organization. Before Sally's diagnosis, I had been on a planning committee for their biggest event of the year every year for about 5 or 6 years. I had been trying to bring some change in based on what the guests after the event would say each year. Several different times I tried to bring in a theme. One year it worked, and they did like a secret garden theme, but it really wasn't even a secret garden theme. They just implemented some flowers in the decor. So it kind of went along that same little road for so many years, but it's okay because I care about the organization and I still had fun volunteering. I was able to obtain tons of auction items and sponsorships for them throughout the years, and So all of a sudden, it came to a point where there was only a few of us on the planning committee for several years, maybe three or four of us all together, and I was by far the youngest person on the committee. So some of the ladies hit retirement age and or had been in retirement age but wanted to enjoy their retirement. So I was approached and I was basically told I was going to take the chairperson position for this particular events committee, fundraising planning committee. And I said I didn't want to at first because I was so afraid that I would do a bad job. And this event for this organization is literally the main event of the year that keeps its doors open. So I was really terrified of taking something so big on by myself to begin with. And finally, the person that told me I was doing it talked me into doing it, made me feel as though I would not be alone in the process. Oh boy, was I not. And so she stepped back, and then I was told, she told me that I had to round up my all new own committee. I personally didn't have a big problem with that because I felt like we needed more of a variety on our committee. So I didn't have a big problem with that. However, I did reach out to our past committee members and invite them to stay on with me. I was told no by a couple and yes by a couple, so it worked out. But what I ended up doing was taking a committee of 3 to 4 people and turning that into one of 16 total. So everything was going great. We were listening to the community. One of our local radio hosts told us that they really love the organization and what it stands for. However, it is the most boring event that they come to and MC every year. So that was like, wow, eye-opening to our entire committee. And from there, we sat down and really went over all the notes from the past years. And this was our 17th year of doing this event. So we thought, we want to make this everything that the guests have always been asking for. We did. In that process, in December, actually, the event was to be in March of 2019. Well, in December of 2018 was when Sally was diagnosed with the brain tumor. She got sick. We then quickly learned that due to Sally's brain tumor and her behavior over the past several months was very odd, and we were concerned. And the reason that she was taken and found about her brain tumor was because myself, and then come to find out later, a few other people had reported her to the executive director, not in a sense to get her in trouble, but because we were concerned for her. It was not normal behavior, and we were concerned for her health. So anyways, we were able to find out about the tumor, and we found out shortly after her diagnosis that all of the sponsorships that we thought we had for that March were actually a list that she was looking at from the year before. So none of those sponsorships were in effect for that, for our upcoming event. So all the money that we thought we had to keep this organization's doors open was gone, and we had to rush into finding new sponsorships and really rounding up more auction items, things like that, whatever we could do to try to make a little bit more money at this event. And we had local stars, local celebrities as our dancers every year. So that was just another thing. Anyways, right after the diagnosis, after Christmas, the person that originally, who was one of my mentors as well, who told me I had to take over, stepped back in. She never once stepped back in and had my committee feel as though we were being helped. we felt like we were being bullied and just ransacked. We felt so disrespected. We were going to do, for example, we were going to do a part at the fundraising event that multiple other organizations in our community have started doing, where it was like a casino-based type thing for some of our auction items. And we just thought, because we were doing a Roaring Twenties event, to have a couple of gaming tables for a couple of the specific auction, silent auction items, would be really neat and kind of a fun way to just bring in some extra fun, something not so boring. Well, she not so kindly informed us at that particular planning committee, when she found out about the gaming tables, that I will not say her exact words, but I will say that she made us feel like we were not Christians for wanting to do this. We were really put down that day, that night at that meeting. So that hurt badly. That was embarrassing too. Pretty much every single meeting from the point that she stepped back in to the event lasted this way, up so much so that I actually stepped down and did not go to the last few meetings because so many of my committee members came to me and tried to quit. But I begged them to stay on for the sake of the organization. And it just came to the point that I felt like if I didn't back away and stop angering her, that my entire committee was going to quit and this event was going to just fall apart. So I stepped back for the sake of the organization. In this process, one of my local celebrities, apparently unbeknownst to me, was, I guess, not liked by this person. I'm not really quite sure. But she was being attacked and on a few occasions yelled at by this person. And that made my local celebrity feel mistreated and disrespected. And I was so embarrassed for myself for allowing, you know, well, not that I allowed it, but for the simple fact that I couldn't control the behavior that was going on. No matter what I did, I was being attacked on a personal level because, well, that'll come in. My other local celebrity dancer, the person bullying me and my committee refused to put her on the invitations. And that's never been done before. So that was completely inappropriate and unacceptable. She refused to put the person's name on the invitations, said the invitations had already gone to print. I went to the local dance studio that was partnering with the organization and talked to one of the owners, expressing my concern. And since me and the local celebrities were all friends with the owner of the dance studio, or who was the owner of the dance studio at that time, I went to her. She was one of my mentors that I would reach out to sometimes for counsel, so because she's a good Christian woman. So I went to her and asking how to handle this situation. Her response, she told me immediately how to handle it. I had to go above the bully's head, and I hate to call her a bully, but go above the person within the organization who was trying to refuse appropriate behavior, manners in this situation, and go to the executive director and tell them that the dance studio was going to back out if our local celebrity weren't both put on the invitation. So things had to be fixed at the printers. And from that moment on, I was then personally attacked, not just within the organization, but personally attacked, which is the point where I stepped back and had to leave my role as the chairperson for this event, like two meetings before the event. I also am one of the local celebrity dancers every year at this event. And so it's really dangerous for me to be on this dance floor if I'm under a lot of pressure, under a lot of stress. So I needed to protect myself in that sense as well. That was the beginning of of my breakdown that I had in January of 2020, actually, that started in November of 2019. Lots of dates going on here. So anyways, fast forward to September. I was still in my dance studio, and although I had resigned from every one of my positions, including being a board of director member for this local organization due to the person that was bullying me, I reached out to someone within that organization to let them know that I heard at my dance studio that my dance studio was only going to be representing two different companies, two different organizations for charity events throughout the upcoming year, due to them being new owners of the studio and trying to build up their business and not overwhelming themselves. So I wanted the organization that I care about to really to know about this so that they would have an opportunity to reach out, because the dance studio and this organization partner together every year for their main event. So I was just trying to help. I did that, and the person that I feel was bullying me went to the dance studio and called me afterwards. Called me in September of 2019 to inform me in a very rude, very snobby way that she had just left the studio and that she talked the studio into doing the annual gala again, which I was really happy about, because obviously I emailed the other person at that organization because I hoped that would happen. From there, she informed me that I was no longer needed as a volunteer or as a dancer, and that I was no longer invited to participate in any festivities within this organization, especially dancing at their annual gala. I'm fighting back tears at this point, and I am trying to ask her why, and her reasons were because my social media posting, and by the looks of my phone bill, I don't have, and the amount of phone calls I'm making, I don't have the time for them anymore. So that was clear to me that it was personal at this point. Rewind briefly, because this person used to be one of my mentors, one of my friends, someone that I actually trusted totally, and I don't trust many people at all. My husband and I are currently renting a home from her. We were at that time on her phone bill. After that last phone call from her 2 weeks later, I had my own phone plan, thank you. I am still in her home. My financial situation is not where I would hope it to be. My husband and I have to decide whether we're going to buy this home or move out by August of 2020. So we have until then to figure it out and get out. So that's how she knew about my phone calls. Mind you, my phone calls, not that it's anyone's business, were based on my job. My job requires me to make a lot of phone calls every day. We do environmental and humanitarian work throughout the world, so I'm on the phone every day, all day, when I was at work. And so that's where the phone calls were coming from. Not that I was raising the bill up, and if I were raising the bill up, I paid my own phone bill, but it was just a personal attack, and I get that. So anyways, moving forward, I went to the studio. I was horrified. I reached out to the studio by email, did not hear back from them, went to the studio, talked to the new owners, and was told that because they are new owners, they cannot afford to turn her away, that they will not turn anyone away, anyone's business away, but they promised me that I would not be affected by her, that she would not be allowed in the studio during my practices, and that she would not be at or participate in any of the events that I participated in. That was my stipulation for my own mental health well-being, because I cannot emotionally or mentally handle being around this person. So I knew for my own sanity and my own mental health well-being that I needed to make this clear right up front. So I did this, and the owner, one of the dance studio owners, informed me that this would not be an issue. They promised me that I would not run into this person at events or at practices, that I would not have to dance in an event with this person. So things were going well, other than still little personal attacks here and there. Not through the dance studio though. I eventually had to reach out to the executive director after that, of the organization, the nonprofit organization, where the person that I feel was bullying me was at. I had to go above her head again and inform the executive director that if anyone contacted me on behalf of the organization, that I would have to seek legal advice and contact ADA. I did not want to do this. I was not trying to threaten anyone, but I felt like there was no other way to stop this person from harassing me. In my personal life, she was using the organization to come against me and attack me in whatever way she could. Fortunately, from there, her sister reached out to me and told me that from that point forward, I had to talk to, communicate only with her, with the sister in regards to the rental property. So that really, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to let my heart pound talking about her right now. If I don't share it all, I feel like it's not helping me to share it. So I'm going to share it all with you so that I can feel like it's helping me too. But just so that you can see, I'm just a real person, and we all have like all these different random things that come together and really just mess us up sometimes. Yeah. So this person that hurt me like this, I loved her very much. Very, very much. And she hurt me to the point of no return with her. I will not ever trust her or allow her in my life again. So anyways, I move forward. I inform this executive director of this. He comes back not so nice, informing me of how bad I've hit him in the gut and how I'm not a real friend to him. Later, I received an apology text message from him informing me he should have listened because she ran him out too. For whatever reason, not my business. So I'm moving on and I'm doing these support groups, and financial situation hits rock bottom for me. I'm not rock bottom yet because I'm currently living on my savings, even at this point that I'm making this message podcast. And so I hit November and I'm struggling greatly. December comes around. I am dealing with more and more, just every little thing that happens, the fear of what now? Am I going to be homeless? If things don't work out with my finances, am I going to be homeless? Because I just wake up one day and she hates me so much now that she has me evicted because She has that kind of power within our local court system. Am I gonna have to be homeless and living in my car because we have a major mold situation in this home? Literally to the point at this moment, we have everything except for things that we are absolutely using packed because we're trying to salvage it from mold growing on it. It's like this whirlwind that just seems like it wasn't gonna stop. One thing that I haven't told you yet is throughout that whole year, everything that I went through. I went through marriage problems too. We sank to separation. And fortunately for me, I have a wonderful, wonderful man beside me. Because when I was so depressed and was giving up on him and I, and a lot of things in my life that I cared about, he kept fighting. He got sober from alcohol. I continued drinking. I eventually, we weren't separated for long before I came home because he was fighting so hard. We were in marriage counseling together. I started drinking less, but continued drinking. Sometime before my breakdown, I had stopped drinking, but not on purpose. It just kind of happened. During Christmas, my grandpa, who has been like my rock throughout my entire life, he was diagnosed with dementia several years ago. And Christmas and my birthday was in November. He didn't remember me for the holidays this year, basically. And I just feel like I was dealing with a lot of loss, a lot. I lost my Sally. I almost lost my marriage. I was still almost losing my marriage during my breakdown. And I think I knew that, but I had no idea how to stop, how to fix it. I lost someone that I loved, that I trusted, that I cared about. So I feel like I'm mourning that person still, even though she wasn't who I thought she was. Like I lost my grandpa, even though he's still here. Another family member that I've been close to for 8.5 years, that I love, that I appreciate, that I value, that doesn't care about me the same anymore. think she still loves me. But I feel like there are certain things that are meant for my direction that I read and they hurt. When I hear the tone in her voice, it doesn't sound like she feels the same about me anymore. So it hurts. A lot of stuff just beating me down, just piling on me, taking my breath away. In late November, I had a dance event. The person that I feel is bullying me showed up backstage at that event. Purposely came up to me and made a scene, not being hateful to me, but being that you know, and it's so obvious that she hates you and she wants to look like the good person and make you look like crap in front of everyone kind of scene. She did. And after that, my breakdown hit full force. I developed what they call as agoraphobia. I couldn't even leave my house. It was so hard for me to leave my house to even go to my therapist's office after that incident. It had already been developing and forming, but it hit like hard after that. It was to the point that I could only leave the house with my best friends, which is my husband and my best friend, my husband and my soul friend. And I could only go to certain places. If I went out dancing with my friend to like a local club or something to do like salsa dancing or, you know, whatever, you know, just a different type of style music that she and I like to go out dancing to. I could only last for so long and I would have to call my husband, but I was only even able to do that once. I since have not been back to the dance studio because it is under new ownership. The new owners don't feel about me the way I guess that the old owners would have. So I sent an email letting them know what was going on with me after the event, letting them know how it was affecting me emotionally and that I was working with my therapist, trying to determine if it was healthy for me to return. I didn't get a response, and to me that speaks volumes about how much I'm worth at that studio anymore. I have since had a couple of comments on Facebook posts for everyone in the world to see stating, oh, we love you so much, we miss you. Where's the phone calls and text messages in that? I won't say your name, but you know who you are. And please don't call and email me at this point because I know what I mean. And I want to be somewhere that matters, somewhere that I matter to them. And that's just kind of how I feel about it, to be honest. And if someone's pushing you around and not treating you like you deserve to be treated and not protecting you when you're in their place of business, leave them. You don't deserve that. That's unsafe and unhealthy for anyone. So don't put up with it. Protect yourself. I have to say that the woman that caused me so much pain, the dance studio casting me aside as they did, taking away my one of my main forms of therapy, one of my helps me keep breathing every day therapies, was the bulk. That was that, my finances, that was the bulk. On New Year's Day of 2020, I lost my temper. My husband said something simple to me, something that should have never made me so angry, and I just lost it. I started screaming and yelling and crying and hyperventilating and slamming my pillow against my bedroom wall. I made him leave me alone. And I was laying in my bedroom with the door closed alone. And I was crying out for God to please not let me go back there again. As I was laying there, literally begging him for this out loud, my best friend, my soul friend, called me. Hey, Sasha. I had almost picked up the phone and called her like 3 times. But I felt like at that point I had been calling her and my husband like every day. Well, not calling my husband, but you know, my husband's here for me, so. I felt like I was just putting all my issues on them every day. And I just felt guilty, so I didn't call. But as I was laying there, she called me. So I talked to her. She calmed me down enough. I was able to somewhat get through the rest of the night. I woke up the next day. I was back at work at this point, still dealing with a lot of financial issues. Sat at my desk to work, crying for hours, and finally picked up my phone and texted my supervisor, telling him that I was not in the state where I was healthy enough to work. Told him what was going on with me, told him that I needed to get myself some help, and I would let him know when I could return back to work. I picked up the phone at that point and called my mentor. My husband happened to walk in my office then, and he stood there with me as I called my mentor and told her I was having a breakdown. I was having a mental breakdown, and I had not had one since my suicide attempt in 2011, so
so I didn't know what to do. I needed help with this, and we made a game plan together. She came over, she talked to me until I was calm, and together we called a local organization called the Mobile Response Team, who did an over-the-phone evaluation and told me to have my husband bring me in to be screened. From there, I went in and checked myself into a mental health facility as an inpatient for inpatient treatment, where I was able to get emergency therapy and psychiatric help so that I could get on medication. At that point, I realized I had not drank in over a month, so I figured I needed to keep that up. Especially now that I'm on medication, drinking for me is not an option. It's something I did not realize until my breakdown that I was using to self-medicate for 8.5 years. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm just thankful that I finally realized what I was doing and I finally took the steps to get myself the help that I needed. I'm proud of myself. When it first happened, I was crying and saying, I'm supposed to be the one that has it all together. No, that's not true, and I should never put that kind of weight on my shoulders, and no one should ever put that weight on themselves, no matter what you do. None of us are expected to always have it all together. That's not true. That's a lie. And if you don't have it together and you need help, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay. I haven't returned back to work. I recently was released to return back to all administrative duties from Trauma to Triumph. I am also going through staffing changes with From Trauma to Triumph, and we are rebuilding it to fill it with the people that are like-minded with us. So I'm trying to grow my board of directors at this point, so I'm focusing on that. Focusing on my podcast, I've been released to do my podcast because it really does help me. I journal every day. I've been asked to share my daily journals, however, I've decided against that, but I will be sharing some of my writing. I'm gonna write I'll share some of my journaling to an extent. So that'll be coming soon on the website. Of course, I'm allowed to do anything like that that's therapeutic to me. I have been released to supportive role within my support group role as a facilitator. And I will be back on full status for that any day now. I will be back released to return for work soon as well. I am on medication. I will tell you that I won't talk about the specific medication that I'm on every day because I don't want to sway anyone's decision. So I urge you to do your own research as far as medications are concerned. In regards to whether it's good or bad for you as well, but for me personally, I can say that that's been a huge part of my recovery. I guess that's kind of the part of it. I do now realize that I'm not wrong for asking for help, that it wasn't wrong for me to have a breakdown. To be honest, with everything I had piled on me, with the people that have been causing me regular pain, with the loss of not only my talk therapy, but my dance therapy, I was bound to have a breakdown at some point. I mean, eventually I was bound to have a breakdown with self-medicating by using alcohol. So it was just,
honestly a surprise that it waited 8.5 years before it happened. So do yourself a favor and don't wait that long to make sure that all your I's are dotted and T's are crossed. Take whatever steps you need, whatever steps are necessary to get yourself help. And I guess like the one thing that I can just assure you on is it's not weak. It is not weak to ask for help. It's not. I feel stronger today than I ever have in my life, ever. My marriage is blossoming daily. I'll probably get this one. We've been in one little disagreement-ish type argument since my breakdown, and even he admitted that wasn't my fault. So, which is rare because I'm so stubborn, hard-headed, and aggressive, emotionally aggressive before I was on medication that I was the cause of most of our issues. So feels good to be able to say that. From Trauma to Triumph, it's just blossoming and blooming in our community. And what I'm most proud of with that is that the peers that we're working with are learning to help themselves. They are reaching out and telling me like, hey, this happened to me, but I did it, handled it like this. So, and it helped. So thank you. Like, it feels really good to be able to get that kind of positive feedback. Another thing I'm extremely proud of are the people in my local community, because I am being received with open arms for the most part. So thank you to my Northwest Florida, especially my Pensacola community, for that. You go. So proud of all of you, to my peers in the community that are stepping up and using their pain to help other people. I could not be more proud of all of you. And again, just keep working hard for what you feel is best in your heart. Don't let people run over you. Don't let people bully you. And if someone's not right or healthy for your life, take them out of your life. Remove them from your life and focus on those around you who are like-minded, who are positive, uplifting, and encouraging. And remember what I've told you before. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Thank you for listening to my long and drawn out story of my first, hopefully last, but probably won't be, relapse and breakdown. Just because you don't feel suicidal doesn't mean you're not in a relapse. I wasn't feeling suicidal, but I knew I needed to get the help. So get the help if you need the help. I care about you, and you are enough.